Well, happy Sabbath, everyone. Thank you for that, Rebecca. Very fitting words. Appreciate that. And thank you, Mr. McKeon, for the introduction. This message has been called a split sermon. It's been called a sermon. It's been called a Bible study. And people are asking, what's the difference between a Bible study and split sermon? And so I just think I get a little bit more time. So we'll see how it goes here. Someone said that, well, Bible study is where you sit down. And today we're going to dig into God's Word. You know, I really want to focus on an area. I know that the kids are having Bible classes, and the topic for them is, does God exist? You know, how do you know God exists? You know, for these little ones. You know, so the parents are at home teaching the children, going through the scriptures with them. And I'm even asking my little boy, and, you know, I have a 7-year-old at home and a 16-year-old at home, and ask them, how do you know? How do you know? And then so it's getting them to think. And, you know, for us, you know, how do we know? How do we know? Because hopefully we are beyond that question, that knowing if God exists. But we're to that point in our lives, if we're baptized and if we've received God's Holy Spirit, we must know that God exists. And we must know without a doubt that He's working with us. I know sometimes that can be discouraging, and we have different patterns in our life. Things happen. We have ups and downs. But let me turn over to one of the scriptures that the children and the teens are looking at, and something that they will discuss in the Compass Check after this Bible study is John chapter 1. And this is a scripture that we all know. We all know this scripture. But are we applying? Are we really applying this scripture? In the beginning was the Word. John chapter 1, verse 1. And we know that Word eventually became Jesus Christ. And the Word was with God. So here you had two supreme beings, God the Father and the Son, the Word. Father being the Father, and the Word being the Son. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So they were both God. He was in the beginning with God. So they've always existed. Always existed. And they will always exist. All things were made through Him, through Jesus Christ, who became later, but through Him, the Word, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. So, as we were talking on the way to service today, we were talking with the children. It's like, who made everything? Who made the physical things? Because if we know that, and God has instilled it in us, then we know that there's a God. Someone had to make these physical things. So the children are learning that there is a God. Now, there's people that don't want to confess that there's a God, because if they do, then they'll have to obey Him. And they don't want to obey Him. Some people don't want to obey Him. So they're not going to confess that there's a God. So then God turns them over to a futile mind, a debased mind, and we have all this craziness. So that is a process of what we're teaching. And that is for our spiritual life as well, because here it says in verse 4, in Him was life. Yeah, He's life. But in Him is life. This is the next step for us to understand. In Him is life. And the life was the light of men. And this is an amazing miracle. Another amazing miracle, that the light, God's seed, is in human beings. Not all human beings yet. But His Holy Spirit is given to those who He calls, that He draws to the Son. That word draw. There's a resistance to our calling. Our nature does not want to obey God. But there's also a delight in that calling because we are excited to that calling. But our nature, we get pulled at. But this must be evident in our lives. And the light shines in the darkness. It shines in the world. As we heard in the first message, people see a difference. We must see a difference. And the darkness, or the world, did not comprehend the light. Did not comprehend God, and it does not comprehend those who have his seed, who are developing that seed. Now, we know that to enter the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, we're not going to heaven, but to enter that, we know there's a scripture that we enter it through many tribulations. We're called, right? And we think, oh, and I've got it made. No, that's just the beginning. We have to be purified. We have to become Christ-like. That comes through correction. That comes through teaching. And that comes through us responding. We can look around. And we've talked about this. And that's not something I want to focus on. I just want to mention it. The numbers. It's not about numbers to God. God's flock is small. The body, the ecclesia, the called out ones, they will make it. They will make it if they continue to walk in God's ways. But we can look around. There's people that had God's Holy Spirit. There's people that did not have God's Holy Spirit. They're no longer with us. Whether it's in the world or wherever they're at. God knows who his people are wherever they're at. Okay? I'm not saying that. But we know that people have gone back into the world, into darkness. They're not letting that light shine. So my question is, it's not focus on them, it's focus on us individually. What about us? Do we get it? Do we really understand God's word? Are we living it? Are we grabbing onto it like there's nothing else? Or are we going to let's turn over to Romans chapter 8. Or are we going to let things come between us and our calling? Paul here in Romans chapter 8, verse 35 says, What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Will it be tribulation? Will it be distress? Will it be persecution? Now we know others had issues and problems and trials, and they've left. But I'm talking about, what about us? Let's make this personal. What about us? Or famine. We lose a job. Not enough food. Or nakedness. Not enough clothes to buy. I'm not quite getting it. I don't quite understand. Or peril, or sword, whatever. Fill in the blank. For your sake, for it's written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We're in this world. Our light's supposed to shine. We're to come out of the world amongst everything that we're throwing, that's thrown at us. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. We're sheep. Counted for the slaughter. Christ prayed for us, but we're not to be, he prayed that we're not to come out of the world as individuals, but we're to be in the world, coming out of the world. Meaning that we're going to be persecuted and we're going to be tested. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 5. Now, Paul is talking to the church. He's talking to the Hebrews. And it can be for anyone. Now, I look at myself. There's certain things that we have to hold on to. There's certain things that we have to understand. There's certain things that we have to be doing, or we will fall. We will fall. And that's what Paul is saying in Hebrews chapter 5. He's talking about, just backing up a little bit, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8, he's talking about Jesus Christ. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience. He was in the flesh. He learned through the sufferings. He never sinned, but sin was always thrown at him by the things which he suffered. If we're in this world, we're going to suffer. This is Satan's society. It's not a fair society. It's not a fair world. This is Satan's society. And we're in amongst it, but we're to shine as lights in this dark, dark world. But he, having been perfected, right? He came to this earth. He walked on this earth. He was persecuted. He was tortured. He died, and he was resurrected. And then he ascended to the Father. He was accepted by the Father. He was perfected. That is major for our salvation, to be a part of the family of God. If that did not happen, you know, I'm not sure what God would do, but it did happen, and Christ would not sin. He was determined to not sin. He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Now that's a sermon in itself, obey him. Because some of us, when we look at righteousness, will say, I'll ask the question, can the law save you? Some people say, well, the law, I have to keep the law so I can be in God's kingdom. That's going to save me. The law does not save us. We must keep the law, but the law does not save us. If we're just keeping the law and missing this ingredient, it's our righteousness. It's our righteousness. And it's as filthy rags. Called by God, as high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say. Ministry has much to say and hard to explain. It is hard to explain. God is the one who has to open the ears. He has to open the understanding, and we must respond to it. So just as the children are learning that, hey, does God exist? All right, if God exists, does that mean you should obey him? And they say, yes. What happens if you don't obey him? What happens if you know you're supposed to obey him and you don't? What'll happen? You think God is going to continue to desire that type of attitude? The answer is no. God will work and work, and we work with our children and we get it across to them, but no. You know, what does God like? We'll talk about that here in just a little bit. So we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. These are individuals in the church. You've become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers. In other words, you should have developed. You should be growing in the maturity of the word. And he says, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need of milk. You have come to need and desire this before you can develop and have this food, the solid food, the meat, the spiritual growth. You're not going to have the spiritual growth if you don't understand these principles. For everyone who partakes of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So if we continue to not understand the milk of the word, or what Paul is describing here, of the oracles and the principles of God, those are the foundational things that we must understand before we can develop and grow in God's word and come to perfection every day in our life. Not perfection where we're without sin, meaning we won't sin. We do sin. We're sinners. We make mistakes. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, those who are perfect. As we, you go to the scripture, be you therefore perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Have that mindset, that understanding of what God's will is. That is, those who by reason of age, of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So if we are struggling to be able to discern between good and evil, then we may not understand these principles. And Paul says, and he goes through these principles, it says, therefore, leaving the discussion and starting in verse 1 of chapter 6 of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. So he's saying, hey, we need to understand. We need to go on to perfection. We don't need to keep going over these principles. And he goes in, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. We'll do this, but only if God permits. What does that mean? Remember, God is long-suffering. He's very patient. 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm not turning there, but verse 9. And also in chapter 3, verse 15, that God's long-suffering is salvation. He's very patient. He wants us to get it. But there's that time when he eventually says, guess what? I can't do it anymore. And it looks like just cut off. Boom. And next thing you know, these certain things that are coming in life, the famine, the loss of job, the persecution, weighs on too much. I just can't take this anymore. And gone. So the question is, will we be able to overcome no matter what, whatever the odds are? Well, the thing is we need to understand these principles. I say seven. There's only six here that we look at. But there's a seventh here as well that you must have to be able to implement these six. So let's go on with number one. You guys may know what number seven is. But the question is going to be, do we understand them? Do we want to understand them? And for those who do, it's something that we must continue in. Not just, close a book, whatever. No, it's something that is ongoing for us as well, as I'll bring an example up with Paul. It's something that we must understand, we must keep understanding till our last breath, because that's who we are. That's what God wants of us. So, Hebrews 6, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. So he's saying, hey, let's leave those behind and let's go on to perfection. But I want to touch on these six, okay? And you could have a sermon on every one of these, and you've probably heard sermons on every single one of these. I'm just going to give a brief synopsis on each six, and then I'm going to go a little bit more depth in number seven. So the first one is talking about repentance. In verse 1, repentance. So when God calls us, repentance from dead works, okay? These are things that we must understand and we must know, okay? before we can go on. When people came to, a lot of people, you can look at the world, okay? Everyone gets baptized. Babies get baptized. People get baptized. Sometimes people do the laying on of hands first, and then they will baptize. There's a process. There's a process that we must understand. When people are counseled for baptism, there's many reasons why people want to get baptized. But as John the Baptist said, in Luke 3:8, I'm just going to refer to that. He says, bear fruits worthy of baptism. Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Not anyone can just be baptized and receive the seed of God. That light shines in men and they stand out. They're different. That's God's seed in them to develop, to become like them. So when we're baptized, the minister looks for fruits worthy of repentance. Fruits worthy of repentance. I was asking one of my little boy, our youngest son, Rylan, do you sin? Well, sometimes. No, but God shows us that we're sinners, right? We must understand that. We are sinners. We can do no good on our own. We have nothing to offer God, as I'll bring out here in just a little bit. We have nothing to offer God. We're made from dirt. What do we have to offer God? Man can't create anything from nothing. They can create things from what God created, but they can't create anything from nothing. God created everything from nothing. And they think, oh, look how good I am. I've created. They can't create anything. We are nothing. So when we come to that point, we come to that understanding that we recognize that, hey, God has opened my eyes. He's helped me to see that I'm a sinner. I need help. I need to change. Okay, so that's part of our lives. It's coming to humility. It's coming to humility. That our whole nature. In 1 John 2:15 and 17, let's turn over there. 1 John chapter 2. First John 2, verse 15 says, do not love the world. We're different. Or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So if we're still glued to this world, whatever it might be, the love of the Father is not in him. So if when God shows us that we're sinners, but we still want to hold on to something, he says right there, God can't work with us. He can't do that. We must always remember that we need to continue to have that fruit of repentance, that God is everything, that we are nothing. And in verse 13 it says, because you have overcome the wicked one. And verse 14, you have overcome the wicked one. We've overcome evil. We've overcome the influence of Satan. In verse 1, the second principle, faith towards God. Since we're in Hebrews 11, faith chapter. Now, faith is the substance. Faith is the substance. That we know that when we come and we understand that God has opened our eyes and he's helped us to see that, wow, big change. He's working with us. That it's through him, that seed, that we need help to overcome, to change, our sins to be forgiven. It says, now faith is the substance. That faith is in us. It's their faith living in us. So a work can be done. It's more than just keeping the law. Of things hoped for. That's our hope. That's who we are. And the evidence of things not yet seen. We don't have to see God. We know that God is living in us through the Holy Spirit. Because he's shown us we're sinners. Without faith, we can't please God. That's verse 6. We know that. Number 3, the other principle that Paul is talking about. If God permits, we've gone on so long, and every wind of doctrine, we're not sure about this group, that group. If we're doing this right, that, we're just fluttering all over the place. Paul is saying, if God still permits, if you haven't gone on too long, he can give us the understanding. And there may be some points that you don't agree with me on. I'm speaking from Scripture, but there's a Scripture as we close with. We'll say that some of you may not agree, but you still have faith. But there's a way to be able to agree, as we'll touch on in the Scripture as well. Paul brings it out. So, 3, doctrines of baptism. So at baptism, right? Same thing, it ties in. God shows us we're sinners. Why do you need to be baptized? Well, people will be baptized. I'm a sinner. I need help. I need my sins forgiven. I need to be buried with Christ. I need them gone. I need them washed away. And so we do that process when a person comes to that point. They get buried in the water. Fully, old man is buried. And then they come up. Their sins are totally wiped away. Totally gone. And that really has to be explained to some people. Probably in most people. Because, well, will he forgive this? Will he forgive that? Yes, he forgives everything. We must let it go. That burden is put away. It's gone. And then we become that new man. A type of baptism is Passover. We renew our commitment with God every year. And the only way that Passover can be accepted, because it's right, we need to come before God. We go, oh, I got to make sure I'm worthy. Can't come before and not be worthy before the Passover. And you get some people come from their homes in a different place. I got to keep the Passover. But you know what? If we're not living it every single day, no matter what we do, that we won't keep that Passover worthy. It's something we must be living every day, applying in our lives. Of needing God's help to change, to become like him. And that process is every day. I think Scott Delamater brought that out very clear on atonement. Let me just touch on that. Turn over to, he gave a message on atonement. It's in Hebrews. It's one page back here. Hebrews chapter 9. That it's through Jesus Christ that our sins can be forgiven. It's not by keeping the law. It's not by keeping the law. But the law must be kept. Hebrews 9:13. For if the blood of bulls and goats, and that's what they did in the first covenant, that if a person sinned, trespassed, whatever the reasons that accounted for that sacrifice, which all those sacrifices pointed to God the Father, they pointed to Jesus Christ, they pointed to a relationship with God, and they pointed to a relationship with mankind, okay? But they could not take away sin. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, the sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So our sins are forgiven. I know we hear that. But are we applying it? That's what Paul is talking about. We can't grow if we're not understanding these principles and applying them in our lives. The next one in verse 2 says, talking about the laying on of hands. Now, after baptism, that's when the Holy Spirit is asked for. It's not guaranteed a person is going to get it. It's not a guarantee. Was that baptism valid? But we go through and make sure we make sure. Make sure we make sure. I've had people come, why won't you guys baptize me? The person's ready, but why won't you baptize me? Turn around to them, look at them. You become baptized and you turn back and you go back into the world, you're dead forever. I still want to be baptized. Oh, that's good. You know, that we have to know. We have to know. A person has to know. The laying on of hands. So at that point, we pray. We ask God that, hey, we want this person to receive it. This person to be genuine. And we want it to be given to them. And then so two hands is laid on by the minister or ministers and ask for the Holy Spirit. A prayer is asked. And as an example, 2 Timothy 1:6 talks about that. It says, Paul saying, we received the Holy Spirit, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which was in you through the laying on of my hands. Two hands. The blessing of little children, as we read in Mark chapter 10, Christ picked them up and he laid his hands on them. When we anoint, we do it with God's, the oil, which represents the Holy Spirit, and we lay hands on an individual. It's the hands. So we follow the process. Not everyone does that. Why does God do that? It doesn't matter. We just do what he says. But there's the process. And you can go back into Exodus chapter 29, Leviticus chapter 8, when the priesthood was concentrated. They would lay hands on the goats. They would lay hands on the ram. Two hands were required at all times. Verse 2 talks about the resurrection from the dead. I'm going to turn over to Lamentations chapter 3. Now, these are, I'm just giving a synopsis on each one of these, okay? I'm not going into real depth, but it's something that maybe, you know, if you don't quite understand God's mercy, you can ask him to help you to grow and to understand, because there was a time in my life that I didn't understand these. And in God's mercy, he was very patient, had long suffering. But I came to a point in my life where he hit me over the head with a 2x4. You better get it, because this is the last time. Because I was not a good husband. I was not a good parent. You know, we have, you know, as God's Holy Spirit, you know, as we talked about Galatians 5, those are God's attributes. That's who he is. That's who we are to become. But in God's mercy, he showed me, this is not how you're supposed to be. This is not how you're supposed to be. And then we have to respond. If I don't respond in a positive way, then God can do nothing with me. I'll become turned over to a debased mind and be part of the world. But I'm glad that I responded. And that's, I would say that I was baptized. When I was first baptized, I was gung-ho. And then probably 10 years of my life, I drifted. Worldwide, 95. Oh, let's go to headquarters, Susie. Learn about these new truths. But you know what? We didn't go, for the feast that year. No, because God woke me up. That's not right. That's not right. God's law needs to be kept. But someone from here that we respect can be at the pulpit. All right? We may be lukewarm.
But I'm following that man. I'm following my pastor. I'm following those people at headquarters or wherever they are, right? I'm not pointing fingers. But what did we just read? That we want to be able to discern between good and evil, right? What happens if I get up here and you're lukewarm and I'm leading you astray? Opening prayer says, help us to hear every word today and put it into our lives. I don't say amen to that. I'll say through that prayer, help us to see the difference between whatever is said. Because there's times I may say something that's wrong. All right? And if you do, tell me. I want to know. I don't want to lead anyone astray. I want to teach the Word of God. That's what John Eliot always said. Monty, you're a deacon. Inspiration doesn't come through deacons. Oh, humble. I could say, oh, yeah. But it's a learning process of correcting, of growing. It's about, we want to teach the Word of God, and it's about the sheep. It's about the little lambs. It's about the sheep. Tending to the sheep, working with the sheep. But Lamentations. Okay. Resurrection from the dead, right? We're to be a new person every day. Lamentations verse 22. Though the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. They're new every morning. We have that opportunity every morning to get our knees. Put him first. We heard that in the first message. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. First. Am I going to get on my knees first? Am I going to seek God first? Do I want him in my life from the beginning? And do I want my relationship right with my wife and with others? I got to put them first. God first, my wife, children. Put them first. It's not how effective of a speaker I am from the pulpit. How polished I am. Paul said, I'm not a very good speaker. I'm more effective in words. But we strive, we get on our knees, and we put God first in our life to help and ask for him to be in our life. Show me the way. I don't know what to do. We as human beings are dirt. We don't know what to do. Show me the way. Christ says, I am the way. I have the truth. And through that, I am life. So we can ask God. Humble ourselves. Okay, you corrected me. Help me to change. Help me to become more like you. But Lamentations, great is your faithfulness. We can be renewed every day. It's our choice. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Who I am, my body, my spirit. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. They're not impatient. We're not impatient. I want this answer now. We wait. What is he trying to do? What is he trying to show? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. The joy is learning from them. Learning who we are, how we can be better, how genuine we are. The joy of learning and growing to become like God. To the soul who seeks him, it is good that one should hope and wait quietly. He's in charge. His ways will work. I know that, you know, we want to grab onto his ways like that milk, like a baby, a new grandbaby. It sucks and sucks and sucks. Oh, can't get enough, right? They just want it. Do we want God's word? As we heard in the first message, we must desire it. It must consume us. To live that way of life, to want it. These are the things we must have if we're going to be able to grow. Revelation 20. Need to get going here. Revelation chapter 20. As we heard in last week's first message by Mr. Adia. You know, it's like those who are called, and we're blessed. We're extremely blessed to be called now in this lifetime. Because we get to be if we make it, we're there for one another, helping one another. Because it's not just ourselves. We look at ourselves and say, hey, I have to change who I am so I can be a better person to others. My relationship has to be right with God, right? But we have the opportunity to be married to Christ. I know I bring this scripture out a lot, but 1 John chapter 1:1-3 says, we will be Him. We'll live in the New Jerusalem. We will be the light. There won't have to be any more sun. We will be there. The bride of Christ. God the Father's looking around. He looks at His Son. There's no bride for my Son. A bride is being prepared. A bride is being prepared. Revelation 20, verse 4, and here's John, who is inspired to write this. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Who are those people sitting on thrones? Then I saw the heads, the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. In their mind, they were determined to obey God if it goes through the tribulation. Their mind, their mindset, I will obey. That's on their foreheads, the mind of Christ. I am not going to disobey. And they're going to serve God. And they'll be resurrected. And they'll live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years during that millennium. They'll be resurrected, the first resurrection. Verse 5, but the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. Those who did not know God, who did not receive that seed. So talking about in verse 4 says, this is the first resurrection. That's the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. And not just only for 1,000 years, but also after that. God the Father is preparing a bride for his Son. The wife and his Son married will develop children. The rest of mankind, the great fall harvest. It's going to be an awesome time. How all that works, we also heard last week, we don't know how it, we can't comprehend the goodness that God wants to bestow on us. Number 6, eternal judgment. We understand that we're being judged now. We need to understand we're being judged now. There's two rewards, a good reward and a bad reward. So do our lives reflect that? Don't need to turn there. James 1:25 gives us the standard. Are we doers? Are we doers of this word? Or are we hearers only? Let's not fool ourselves. Let's not look at all the other people who may have gone back into the world. What about us? Am I going to be a doer? Or am I going to ask for God to show me the way, to help me to be able to discern between right and wrong? Just because maybe I say something wrong or go in a different direction doesn't mean we get to leave the church. We don't. You know, worldwide days, they changed the doctrines and everything like that. And it took time. People left. Yes, that's a different story. John 15. We are branches. We are branches. Jesus Christ is the tree, the analogy. John 15, verses 1 and 2. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me who has my seed, such as those who keep the law, but it will be those who are keeping the law, but it's not only just because we're keeping the law, it's every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So, that seed that's in us, if we're not bearing this fruit, we need to understand it's taken away, turned over to a debased mind. But every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, chops us up, helps us to grow, helps us to see more of who we are, how we can do better, because God's seed is living in them, that they may bear more fruit. So, eternal judgment. We must understand that. We must know that. Let's go back to Hebrews. That's six. So, and of eternal judgment. And it says, and this we will do if God permits. What's number seven? Paul tells us before he starts with the first six. Let's go back to verse 1, chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let's leave those behind because we understand them. All right? We don't need to keep rehearsing the milk over and over. We need the full food. We need the meat. Right? We don't need to keep going over and over. Let us go on to perfection. That's number seven. Let's go on to perfection. Let's take what we just heard and let's go on to perfection, to become mature, to understand what the will of God is. We started in Romans chapter 8. I'll go back there. Because what is going to take us away You know, we read, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall it be tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Because it's written, for your sake, we're all killed all day long. Those things are going to happen. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors. How? It says, through him. Through him who loved us. It doesn't say by keeping the law only. It's through him, through his seed. As we just went through of the process of being called by God, that's what those elementary principles are, is being called by God and responding to God so we can go on to perfection. So we can have the maturity to understand God's ways, to know who he is. Know what his righteousness is, the completeness, the fullness of Christ. Romans 2, verse 4, I'm just going to refer to it. God's goodness leads us to repentance. His law is a guide. It shows us that we're sinners. Paul talks about that. Let's turn over there. As we are to move forward, we're to grow in maturity, to grow in perfection. to have our sins forgiven on a daily basis. We have that opportunity to go before the throne of God. We've been given that.
Paul says in Romans chapter 7, verse 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual." So God's law is a spiritual law. But what does he say? "But I'm carnal. I'm sold under sin. I'm still a sinner. I can't keep God's law perfectly. No one can except Jesus Christ, who did it. He was the only one in the flesh who could do it. For what am I doing? For what I'm doing, I don't understand. Or what I'm doing, I don't allow. For what I will to do, for what I want to do, I know God's ways, I understand these principles. I know I'm supposed to be going on to perfection. I know I'm not supposed to sin. That's what I want to do. But it says, but I do not allow that. I don't do it. That's not what I always do. But what I hate sin, is what he's saying, but that's what I do. Our nature's contrary to God. That's, we have to be fixed. We can't. We have nothing to offer God. That's what we must come to understand. Verse 18, "For I know that in me, that is my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me. But how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that's what I do." There's no way we can keep the law perfectly. "Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." That's my nature. So we read 1 John chapter 2. "He who overcomes the wicked one." We must overcome Satan. Just as Jesus Christ overcame Satan, we are to overcome. Verse 21, "I find then a law that evil is present with me." So the law shows us what sin is. The law, God's law, shows us what sin is. Do we recognize sin? Do we want to see what sin is? If God has shown us what sin is and we're still want to do it, and we keep doing that, and keep doing that, keep doing that, then things that happen in life, we're like sheep going to the slaughter. Every day, we're going to get buried. When the next distraction happens, and the problems in the churches, the organization, I say the organization. There's two different types of church. You have the organization, and you have the body of Christ, the ecclesia, the called out ones. The sheep will hear the shepherd's voice. Wherever they are at. So whenever we have skirmishes and disruptions and splits, you know, we're told in Scripture that's going to happen. It's going to get worse. The church is going to be scattered before the tribulation starts. But we can be comforted. So the law shows us that evil is present. Go into the world. They don't know. They'll say, "Oh, I'm a good person," right? You can go into the world. I mean, everyone has their own ideas, their own thoughts, what they're doing. We have been shown. And their conscience, they know some of those things they're doing is not right. But it's God's law. They don't want to obey God. God's law shows us what sin is. "So then I find a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man." So we delight in God's ways. We desire to want to obey God, to live God's way of life. Because we understand these principles. And we're wanting to go on to perfection. We want to be perfected through the blood of Jesus Christ and through his resurrection, his life living in us. "But I see another law in my members,
who I am, my thoughts, my eyes, my ears, my speech. Warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. The law shows us that I keep messing up. So that's why we're able to go before the throne of God and ask for help. To ask for forgiveness, to be purified, to be wiped clean. Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched man that we are, men and women. Who will deliver us from this body of death? It's the law. No. I thank God through our Lord, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we just read that it's the law that shows us what sin is, right? It's a guide. It's our tutor. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. Our mind, we're determined to obey. But at the same time, it says, but with the flesh, the law of sin. We understand that we're sinners. And we need to be clean, cleansed. We need to follow that process. You know, because we're required to keep God's commandments and all of his teachings, right? Not just his commandments, but all of his teachings. It's all encompassing in this Bible. Let me read to you Isaiah 57:15. The high and lofty one who lives in eternity. It's God, right? The high and the lofty one. God the Father and Jesus Christ. The Holy One says this. I live in the high and holy place. Right? I've always existed and I will always exist. My ways will prevail. I live in the high and holy place with those. With those. Those who have that seed. That seed that's developing. That mustard seed. Right? Is that faith as a mustard seed? That's the smallest seed of all the herbs. The smallest seed of all the herbs. Yet when it grows, it's the largest plant of all the herbs. Do we have faith as a mustard seed and a mustard plant that does the perfect will of God? It's put in the ground, it's watered, and it grows and it sprouts up and it gives of itself. That whole plant can be used for food, different processes. That whole plant is used for birds to nest in. It just gives and gives and gives. Is that our faith? Is it living faith? Are we doing that just by keeping the law and forgetting to ask for our sins to be forgiven so his righteousness can be in us? So he's living in us once our sins are wiped clean? If we're doing that, then it's his righteousness. If we're not doing that, it's our righteousness. And our righteousness is filthy rags. He says, I live in the high and holy place with those whose spirits are contrite and humble. Those who have a crushed spirit. You showed me that I'm a sinner. You showed me that I'm wrong. You crushed me. We see that. Is it a godly sorrow when we're shown we're wrong? That, oh, I don't want to be rejected by God. I want to change. Show me where I'm wrong. Or is it a human sorrow? Oh, I've been caught. Ugh, it doesn't feel good. And it can be quite discouraging when we're rejected by God. He shows us that, oh, I was doing that. Ah, oh. But no, we can get on our knees and go out to him and he can give us that strength back. Because that's what it says. The contrite and the humble. We totally humble ourselves. We get on our knees and we totally humble ourselves. Show me where I'm wrong. And we should be saying, God, humble me. I mean, that'll put shivers up the spine, won't it? Humble us. Help us to respond to what you show us. My nature doesn't want to do it. But that's what God says. He crushes the spirit. We're led to the slaughter every day. Are we going to be in the world eventually, like all the others who've left? What about us? Do we understand these principles so we can go on to perfection? Because God says, I restore the crushed spirit of the humble, and I revive the courage of those with repentant hearts. He's our big daddy. He gives us comfort. Through that process, let's turn over to Colossians as we wrap this up. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, verse 12. So as we're doing this process, we're growing on to perfection. We have this relationship with God, and we're seeking Him. We have that crushed spirit. He shows us where we're wrong. We're responding to Him with the right attitude. And we can't do it ourselves. I need help. Help me to change. If we're not asking, if we're not seeking, and if we're not knocking for that, it's not going to happen. But if we're doing that, and that's the process, then as we keep the law, that seed is in us and it develops because they're doing it in us. Verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Then this becomes who we can be. How can Jesus Christ go through as a human being and get his beard plucked out, get spit on, get a thorn thrown on his head and crushed? All the beatings where he looks down from the stake and looks down and all he sees is bones. And he says before he dies, Father, forgive them. It's because God is love and his seed was in him. He was full of the Holy Spirit. We can have that as well if we follow this process. We can't bystep the process of asking for our sins to be forgiven. And when they're shown to us, we must respond. Bearing with one another. We must bear. Someone in here, we have to bear. We have to bear. Life's not easy. And forgiving one another, no matter what they do to us. That's what Christ set the example. No matter what they do, we forgive. And guess what? Our nature doesn't do that, does it? So we get on our knees and say, God, my nature doesn't do that. I need to do it. Help me to do it, right? If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do through them. Can't try it on our own. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Talking about the sacrifice, God's mercy, the reconciliation process that we've been talking about. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Be thankful for being called. We're led to the slaughter every day. Just be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Teaching and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace with your hearts to the Lord, admonishing one another. There's an example of someone at the feast that we were at. I seen her over in the corner slapping herself. And it wasn't just a little slap, it's slapping herself. And she says, she saw me and I saw her, she goes, Monty, I need to do that. Because I'm taking God's name in vain. I don't want to take God's name in vain. Someone pointed it out to me in a humble way. I'm using euphemisms. And I can't stop. I'm praying to God, I'm asking for God, but I'm determined to do it. So every time I catch myself doing it, I have to slap myself. And it reminds me. So that's her way of getting it. And she's not just doing it without praying to God. She knows it's wrong. She's asking for forgiveness. And she's asking for help. But she's quiet. She's still. And God will work it out. How determined is she? So whatever you do in the word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. It pleased God. It pleased God for Jesus Christ to be bruised. We look at that, it's like, wow, it pleased Him. Because that's how we can become and grow like them and ultimately be them. Let's wrap this up. We may think, we always talk about this. We're all determined. I want to be in God's kingdom. I want to be in God's kingdom. To the kingdom. We go to the feast. To the kingdom. I can't wait for God's kingdom to come. Is that our goal? Is that our goal? Paul has a different goal. He has a different thought process. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. He's talking about a race. He's taking the race, right? He's saying, we know all these things, we're going to move on to perfection. This is how we move on to perfection. You know what? God's going to do it with us or without us. He's given us the opportunity to be married to His Son. We can't do it on our own. We must bend the knee and cry out to Him. Verse 24 of Corinthians chapter 9 says, do you not know that those who run in a race, they all run? So everyone's running in this race. And back then, it would be long races. Barefoot, running across the rocks, sand. But only one receives the prize. Only one. So it's like this is a race and everyone's going, everyone's going for it, but only one is going to receive the prize. And back then, the prize was a wreath over your head. That was it. That was it. And they were running for that. But he's saying, run in such a way that you may obtain it. Brethren, God is speaking to us through His Word. Do we want it? Are we going to grab onto it? Our nature doesn't want it. Our nature, of and by itself, has to fight Satan. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. How are we running? He says, everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. They're determined. They have self-control. They're going to do it. They're disciplined. They hold on. They're in all things. But now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. Just a perishable one. It's gonna go away. But why do we do it? Why do we run this race? Why? You know what? We cannot earn salvation, but we can earn a reward. We can't earn salvation because we can't keep God's law perfectly. Through the Holy Spirit, through forgiveness of sin, through these six basic principles as we understand and implement into our lives, them living in us, they get all the credit. Yes, we have to make the choice, but we're running this race for His righteousness, their righteousness to be in us. Therefore, He says, I run thus, not with uncertainty, not just aimlessly. I know where I'm going. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I do fight, not just fighting here. I know what I'm doing. But I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection. I understand. I have to bring this body into subjection to do God's will. I'm running this race. I'm determined to do this. Lest... He says, because I have to do this, because he says, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. So he has to continue in it. He has to continue in it, not just preach it. It's to his last breath. Philippians, continuing that process. Philippians 3, verse 12. He says, why? I have to be careful, not just to preach it to others. I must continue in it. He says, verse 12, not that I have already attained, I've not already attained the reward. I have not already attained the reward. He's not saying I've not already retained a goal. I've not already attained the reward. Or already perfected, because I'm still a sinner. I still make mistakes. But I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I'm not telling you I've already reached the reward, taken possession of it, because I haven't, is what he's saying. We must continue on. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. When I ask for my sins to be forgiven, I forget. The burden is lifted. I can go on. And reaching forward to those things which are ahead, he says, I press towards the goal. The goal is to overcome. For what? The prize. What's the prize? It says the upward call. Eternal life. Eternal life. Of God in Jesus Christ. He says, therefore, as many as are mature, who have this understanding, who are applying this in their lives, have this mindset. And if anything you think otherwise, if any of you think otherwise, if you don't quite understand or you don't quite get it, what does Paul say? God will reveal even this to you. But he says, nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, to the degree that we have already attained, talking about the mind and character of God, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mindset. And God will reveal to us his ways and his time as we seek him, right? Closing scripture, chapter 4, verse 6. We don't have to worry. We don't have to worry. You want to see all these people that can go through in the Bible that they, what all these persecutions, these trials, the tribulations. We're led to the slaughter every day. We're told we don't have to worry. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Everything by prayer and supplication. Supplication, crying out to God for this understanding and helping him to help us to grow and to change and overcome. With thanksgiving, let your requests, what requests do we need help with? What weaknesses do we have? Those are the requests that God can help us with. Be made known to God, and the peace of God, which suppresses all understanding, will protect your hearts and minds through our Lord Jesus Christ. We just have to apply it. We just have to apply it. So let's do our part. Let's go on to perfection, brethren. Because God's kingdom awaits for us. So let's go out there. Let's be applying it in our lives every day.